Today we're going to talk about the difference between being committed to something and being relentlessly committed to something. And I'm excited to chat with you about it because when we came up with this core value for Active Life, it was a question of like, is that an extra word that doesn't need to be there? Because one of the things you've helped us do as a company is say more with less. And so the question of does relentlessly or relentless commitment to the mission, does the word relentless need to be there? So I'm excited to chat with you about the difference.
Yep. Me too. Let's jump right into that. Why didn't we just leave it as commitment to the mission?
It felt weak. It's hard for me to describe. I don't think I understood specifically why until I had to defend it, if that makes sense. Mm. So when I wrote relentless commitment to the mission, it's just because commitment to the mission felt weak. It felt like there's something missing from that. Mm-hmm. And adding the word relentless in front, I was like, that's it. Like that's what I'm looking for. And I couldn't really, I'd be lying if I said I thought this all the way through before I wrote it. And then it became a thing. It was the value of having to defend it that solidified that word should be there. Mm.
It's similar to the live a life of freedom without compromise.
It is, yes.
As in, it's the thing like, cool, yeah, you can have a life of freedom. Mm-hmm. Why didn't we just leave it at that? We've talked about that on the podcast.
Right.
Because it's just, it's a little soft.
It's ask yourself again, yeah. Is that freedom? Mm-hmm.
Relentless makes me think about being undeniable.
It is that. It also affords me the brain space personally. I'm being selfish with the value. The brain space of like when somebody exemplifies that they want what we do, but like they have other shit to think about. And they express that this might not be the thing for them. Like, go, just go. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I appreciate that. I really do. Do you want to hear why? No. I really believe you. I really value the work that you did here, or I value the work that you did here as a client. And if you could just go now, that would be great.
Yeah. If that fire is not lit inside of you, mm-hmm. to want to continue the relationship, mm-hmm. I'm not inspired to convince you.
100%. And the relationship, by the way, is to me with the mission. It's not even with me.
Right.
Because we've had clients who've left. We've had staff who've left. We've had clients we've fired. We've had staff we've fired. The way I feel about the people after we part ways has almost nothing to do with whether they're still with us or not. It has everything to do with what they're doing afterwards, why they're doing it. I have, I feel a sense of loss when we lose somebody who is still in pursuit of the mission, but on their own. In a way that I'm like, yeah, that is their thing. And I respect that. And I support that. And I wish I had more time to contribute to that with them. And then there are people who are like, I just think we have more that we can do. And then when I ask like what? And there's just nothing there. I'm like, fuck, like you're still lost. You still don't even know what you want. You can't articulate it, but it's not this. And I don't have time to try to convince you otherwise. So go.
Why are we trying to do more if we're not doing the core thing excellently? Excellently enough.
Well, right.
I know we're not, but that's the question that comes up for me with the person. It's like, I just think we can do more.
Well, because our core thing is really hard, Cody. This is a legitimate thing that happens, right? I was talking to a farmer yesterday. I'll bring it back to that in a second. But what we do is hard. And so there's this valley of despair that we all know. Mm. That, you know, it's I became aware. I'm excited now about the awareness that I can do a thing I didn't previously believe I can do. I'm going to go do that now. This is going to be fun and easy and profitable and exciting. Oh, God, this is hard. this is so hard. How long am I going to allow this hard to last before I quit and go back to the thing that I know I don't love because I signed up to leave it, but at least I know how to be moderately successful doing it. That's what happens. It's the reason why the reason we push so hard to get people to enroll with us, when we push people to enroll with us, is because there's nobody else who's going to solve their problem, and we know it. Because their problem is in alignment with the mission that we have to help people. And when it comes to a gym, as a for example, you can hire a gym mentor who's going to teach you how to get leads better than we are. You can hire a gym mentor who's going to teach you how to get a higher closing rate better than we are. You can hire a gym mentor who's going to teach you how to build a P&L maybe better than we are. But none of those people are going to help make sure that all three parties involved in the equation are taken care of, that the owner is making a profit, that the staff is making enough money to live where that gym is and do work that fulfills them, and that the client is getting their promises kept. No one is doing that. And so doing all three of those things is hard. It's very easy to leave one of them out. That's really fucking easy. And the owner is never going to be the one who's left out when they're the one who's paying the bill. So who gets screwed? Either the client gets screwed because the gym thinks, or the coach thinks, I can help anybody. Whether you want to go to the Olympics or just get off the couch and lose 300 pounds for the first time, I can help you. No, you can't. No, you can't. And then the coach doesn't get paid. Or the coach gets paid and the client is not getting coached. A great example of that would be something like a Peloton, a spin studio, a HIIT class with 40 people in it. Like even a CrossFit class with 15 to 20 people in it. That's not coaching. That's entertaining. Mm-hmm. And if we call it that, that's fine. But now we need the people who are signing up to be signing up because they say, I want to be entertained. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're just compromising.
Makes me think of Gladiator. Are you not entertained? Are you
not entertained? No, I'm fucking not. Because I'm not here to be entertained. I'm here to do the work. And I understand that something that keeps coming back to me is I know I'm wired differently than most people. I know that. And so I know that I don't need music on at all. I don't even hear it. I don't need the coach to tell me I'm doing a good job. Don't ask me what I did last night. Like, just let's do this.
You're not there for the energy, excitement, community, the...
None of it.
Yeah.
And I understand that that's not necessarily a common thing.
Do you think that that is because of your motivation? So let me unpack that quickly. There's extrinsic and intrinsic motivation, right? And I really struggle with the word motivation because most people attack it extrinsically as in the thing that's going to get me excited and going. But if we break down the word motivation, what is your motive? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you doing this?
For the result.
That is, so that's more intrinsic.
It's all intrinsic.
Is that what you think is the part that makes you different?
I don't know.
You're not looking for somebody else to light the fire under your ass because it's just been a tough day and I don't really want to do this.
I don't. Shut the fuck up. I don't want anybody to light a fire under my ass. I'll tell you how my morning went today. It's a great example of this. My wife has just, like 3 weeks ago, she had COVID for a week and it knocked her on her ass. She starts feeling better. Now, our middle kid is sick. She doesn't have COVID, but she has something, so fine. She starts getting better. The older kid gets sick. Okay. She starts getting better. Now Kim has the flu. So now we go from, and I was in Austin, Texas for like 5 days of this when she was on the mend, like the better part of her. So she starts getting better. It looks like we're through it. Like yesterday was like the best day. I got my routine back for one fucking day. And then this, like last night, number three just has this cough that will not go away. And she can't sleep. She has a room with number two. So she came in, she woke up my wife, who's 7.5 months pregnant, who just got over having COVID, just got over having the flu, hasn't really slept in like a month. She came in, she woke my wife up. She didn't wake me up. She woke my wife up. And Kim, because she's a saint, took care of the kid without waking me. And so I get a text from Kim that I didn't see until I woke up this morning. Fucking spry, right? Like, what a sleep. I'm ready to go work out. It's 5 a.m. And I get a text from Kim that was like from 3 a.m. And it was, number 3 came in and woke me up. She's got a cough. We haven't slept a wink since then. I'm on the couch with her downstairs. So when you come down, just please be quiet. I'm like, ah, okay. I knew a few things when I got that text. One, number 3 is sick. 2, my wife should not take the kids to school today because, like, she just should be able to sleep after I get the kids off to school. The kids' lunches aren't done yet. She normally does that in the morning. All of the things. Typically, she takes care of the morning with the kids, and I take care of myself and her. I'm good at that. So this morning, I'm like, okay. For a moment, it was like, fuck. And then after that, it was, I'm going to go downstairs. If she sees me, I'm just going to tell her, go back upstairs, go to sleep. I've got this, all of it. I don't need to text somebody and be like, oh, I'm having such a bad morning. This. It's just, this is what was dealt. Go to work. Go take care of all of that. I just don't see the utility and the time in between. Mm.
How does that for you tie to relentless commitment to the mission?
Because the mission is living a life of freedom without compromise. And for me, freedom without compromise means I don't have to think about my relationship. Here's part of it, right? Freedom without compromise is in all aspects of your life. To me, that's financial. It's mental health, it's physical health, it's relationships, and it's your what did I leave out? Fitness, physical health, mental health, financial health, relationships. I'm missing one. Why am I drawing a blank? What's the fifth?
Time.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Whew. So It's the long-term vision. Mm. It's not today. And so for me, how do I get that? My wife was 100% for me at midnight. She wasn't thinking about, I got it yesterday. It's your turn. Mm. She was 100% for me. It's my job to be 100% for her. So freedom without compromise is, I'm not going to compromise on our relationship. I'm going to make sure that we have freedom in the way that we can speak to each other, in the way that we know that we're safe with each other, that she's inspired by me, that I'm inspired by her. That, all of that to me, that's the life I want. Nothing else is more important than the life I want. And I'm relentlessly committed to getting it. And so this morning, there were 7 things I wanted to be doing. Instead of making my kids breakfast, getting my kids off to school, making sure their lunches were packed, all of that. And instead, I just did that. And it doesn't sound like a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to war, mm-hmm. right? Let's not get hyperbolic about it. But there was a moment of stimulus, get the text, ugh, and then response. And the response could have been, fuck, like, really, really? Instead, it was, okay, you have to get to active life, get your training session in, no BSing around, you don't have the time you normally have. Get home, start the kids' breakfasts before they even come downstairs, go upstairs, get them, bring them down, let them know this is what's going on, daddy needs your help this morning. Go, walk them to school like everything is cool, then sprint home from school and get in the car and start your day. And I did that.
It's decreasing that gap of that part in the middle where you could have, and this is what, as I imagine, where most people or some people are compromising, where you have that stimulus and then you do the woe is me. Mm-hmm. I got to bitch about this now to get through this.
And then I got to tell people when I get to the,
compromise.
Yeah. Hell yeah. It's compromise on the relationships I want to have with other people, all of them. Mm. Cause think about this. What if I showed up this morning to work out at Active Life and the room is full all three of our pros are on the floor working with clients. We have three people in an Ascend session. We have two personal training sessions going on at the same time. So five clients, three staff, and me. Hey, Sean, how are you today? Ugh, what a morning. Let me tell you something. I had to take my kids to school today. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you're automatically a drain.
I'm a drain on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
How's your morning? It's great. Because it is. I woke up. I'm healthy enough to train. My wife last night took care of something that I could have taken care of, but she made it so I didn't have to, even though she's 7.5 months pregnant, just came off of the flu. I'm healthy. My kids are healthy. We have the food in the house to make them breakfast. School is down the block. I'm having a great morning. It's not the morning I planned, and it's a great morning.
Mm.
And I feel like we can always make that choice. That is freedom. Like I'm not captive by my thoughts.
Is there a part of making the decision to go all in on the thing that is relentless commitment to the mission?
That's the decision. And then there's actually doing it.
Because I think about, you know, my first facility started in 2015, wasn't a full-time gym owner, as in like quitting the real job until middle of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It was always the, once it starts to make enough money, then I will.
.. And it never does.
It never did. It didn't. I mean, I made $11,000 the first 6 months that I owned the thing.
Right.
And then it was all the building of it. It was when we decided to do this thing out here, it was, okay, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. Let's go. It was I lost my operator at my facility. It was, okay, what do we do? Well, we'll close it, obviously. I'm inspired by the mission that we're chasing as a company now, not the side project or the side hustle.
Well, and I think you do a really good job of that with our clients too. I made a post the other day that said, we have to be careful not to confuse our failures with becoming a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And like not only can you fail, you have to fail to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
The most successful people are just the ones who failed the most times and continued moving forward.
Yep.
So the thing that I was recently actually listening to a podcast about one of our clients who decided to close their gym with your help.
Mm.
And it was being discussed without the person in the room, and they were talking about it as if it was a failure. I'm like, what about the rest of the information?
Mm-hmm.
What about the fact that this person grew their revenue through working with us, but was in such a big hole before they started that there was no way that they saw a path to growing their revenue at a speed that was going to allow them to retain their mental health?
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of slogging out in something that didn't inspire them anymore, that they didn't see a path to success through, we helped them decide to close their business and go after it on their own as an individual entrepreneur instead of a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what better suited their personality. Is that a failure or is that a success?
That's a massive success.
I was so fucking pissed listening to the podcast. And I'm not going to reference it. I'm not going to talk about who it was. But that is giving somebody freedom without compromise. Because the compromise would have been, I just don't want to be perceived as a failure.
Yeah, it's thugging it out. It's continuing to go down the road, even though you know, look, I'm making $30,000 a month and I still can't take a paycheck.
Right.
That's a problem.
Yes.
Because of the decisions that I made in the previous years to keep the business going.
Yeah, several thousands of dollars a month in debt service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all tied to this business. And if this business has gone, so is that debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you love this business? No. Does this business fulfill the reasons you want to exist? No. What the fuck are we doing? So I think that something that I actually take a lot of pride in that you do, I think, extremely well on behalf of our company is help people make the difficult decision to not own the business that they thought they were hiring us to help them grow. But instead, they didn't realize it, but they were hiring us so that they could see what it would take to make it grow should they want to, and then to help them close it.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It's I chose to do it for myself. Mm-hmm. And that's helpful. And it's going back to the mission, right? A life of freedom without compromise. The compromise for those, that person and the other gym owners, is staying in the business. Mm-hmm. And trying to thug it out and not taking the paycheck when you could close and you could make eight a month mm-hmm. on your own, mm-hmm. just training somebody one-on-one out of another space that you're paying $500 to rent.
Right. And you love being a coach.
Yeah. And you're doing and 20 you'd rather hours. Be a coach. Yeah. And you're doing 20 hours in that business that you're creating for yourself mm-hmm. rather than 60 to make nothing.
Right. The commitment is staying open in that case.
Yeah.
The relentless commitment is choosing yourself.
Yes. And the one thing I was talking with, I love, one of the things that I love about doing this is I love the opportunity to talk to different people. I've had a couple mentoring calls with an ALP over the last month. Not somebody that I've worked with ever, but he reached out to me on Instagram about, he's like, hey, heard you on the podcast. Would love to create a different relationship. That's cool. So I've had a couple of calls with him, and yesterday we had a call and he's going through it, lost his air quote full-time job, mm-hmm. right? The real job is going through it right now. And he's like, it's just, sometimes it's so hard. And I said, yeah. What makes you think it should be easy?
Right.
What about this leads you? Look, every opportunity has a commensurate obstacle. The bigger the opportunity, the bigger the obstacle.
Yes.
Why would you be under the impression that this gets easier as you get closer to the top of the mountain? If you're talking like 8,000 meters, right? That's the death zone above that. The tallest peaks in the world. So that it's the final 1,000, 100, 2,000 meters that most people die. Mm-hmm. Because they've already climbed the first eight and they got there. But there's limited oxygen. There's unknown terrain. It's the most challenging part towards the top. Of course it's going to feel harder here. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't it? The deepest breath, right? Remember that documentary?
Yes.
It's within the last 10 meters.
Right.
That 90% of the issues happen.
Yeah.
Of course it's going to be hard at the top.
That's for people who haven't seen it. It's a documentary about free divers who go down, 300 meters?
I think it was, I don't think it's quite 300.
Feet? Whatever.
Yeah, 300 feet, 100 meters. That sounds right.
I think it was.
Maybe it's longer than that.
It's way deeper than that. But anyway, you can Google it.
Yeah.
What happens is these people are underwater for 3.5-4 minutes. And they're having to swim. And they're dealing with pressure changes and all of that. And 90% of the injuries that happen as a result of blacking out. I mean, in order to have a good dive, you have to come out of the water and demonstrate you haven't blacked out.
Yes.
You have to stay not blacked out.
Yeah.
That's how close they're all coming to it. And so 90% of the injuries of blackout are happening when they're less than 10 meters, feet, whatever it is, from the surface of the water mm-hmm. where air is.
300 plus feet. So it would be 100 meters.
Right.
They go down and their lungs contract to the size of a fist because of all of the pressure. When you hit that 30 meter mark, you just start free falling, as in the pressure pulls you to the bottom. So you have to overcome that to swim back up. And most of them they pass out or have the issue within that last 10 meters to the top. Of course, as you get to the closer to the top of the thing, you're going to get more resistance. It makes all of the sense in the world if we think about it that way. If life is a video game, when you start the video game, it's relatively easy, especially when the old school NES Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think I ever beat one of those fucking games,
Grass
by the way.
Joe.
Dude. Punch Out?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't think I ever beat a Super Nintendo game so difficult.
The cheat code.
Yeah. The final levels and the final boss were always the most difficult part of the game. Why would you expect that it gets easier the longer you do the thing?
Yeah, that's a really good metaphor that I'm now thinking about 7 posts that we could make about that.
Sick.
All right. Turn, bro.